today was National Garlic Day, too. I don't think we can do anything with that, but, you know, apparently you can make garlic ice cream. It tastes good. So
I've never had it, but I have heard it's very good.
I've never heard of it before until today, and I don't know how it would be good, but I will take your word for it. So, all right. Yeah. So, hey, everybody, welcome to the 16-Bit Catholic Podcast, episode 13. Lucky 13. It is, it's good to be here with my good buddy, James Ryan. I haven't talked to you in a while, James. How you been doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm all right on this lovely Sunday evening. No, it's the evening. Never mind.
It's something like that. But if somebody listens in the morning, then what time would it be?
Good morning, podcaster.
Man, the one thing I wanted to talk about today, but first give a shout out to our good friend Andy Gaston, who his wife might end up having a baby today. So
that's right.
Yeah, so we're very proud about that. You not having a baby today, though.
That's no, not, maybe not maybe a food baby, but that's about it.
A food? What do you mean a food baby? What are you talking about?
You know a food baby?
No.
When you eat so much food, your stomach kind of protrudes, and you're starting to yesterday Jane and I went to we like Korean barbecue. I don't know if you ever had Korean barbecue.
I've never had it. That sounds good though.
Hello, it's delicious. And what Korean barbecue does is they more often than not they have all you can eat, where you pay a specific amount of money and you go down the list of certain different types of meats that they have. They have bulgogi or.
Are you there?
Yeah, I hear a weird sound in the background.
Oh, that's my washing machine. Maybe I should turn the washing machine off to do a podcast. Let's go take care of that. James, entertain the people for 10 seconds while I'm gone.
All right, so if you've never heard of Korean barbecue before, you pay money and you get all-you-can-eat meat. Hey, everybody loves all-you-can-eat meat. And then they give what the Koreans call banchan, and that's sides. And it's usually kimchi and these little noodles. They're known for potato salad, which is delicious. Yeah, I know. Koreans make potato salad. It's really good.
That's a lovely story. I'm so glad I heard it.
I know. I was just telling you about – telling the peeps about the insights of Korean barbecue. So all you can eat for a certain amount, and you go down a list of things that you know, hey, I want this marinated beef. I want this marinated chicken. I want this marinated pork. I want bulgogi. All these, you know.
What's bulgogi?
Bulgogi is like a what is it called? It's a certain type of steak. It's a really thinly cut steak. What's that? Marinated beef. That was marinated beef. The other one is a galbi, which is that's the thinly cut steak, and that's really good. But so you cook it yourself. So the little hibachi thing is in the table, and you're cooking it and you know having fun. And we ate a ton of food, and I had basically I had meat shakes and a food baby.
Oh man,
yeah. For about 5 hours after we got home, so
that sounds fun and not fun all at the same time.
Oh, it's excellent! It's just I think I ate more meat than any man is supposed to eat in one sitting.
What's like the taste of like the barbecue? Is it more of a sweet barbecue than normal, or is it spicy, or how does that work out?
Well, it depends on the type of meat that you get. A lot of times they're not marinated, so there's only about two or three that are marinated. There's one that's like the chicken; it's like spicy or something like that. But other times it's just regular meat, and then you have different side dishes or different sauces that they have. Sometimes it's just the regular chili pepper sauce, and then there's another one. It's like, I guess just maybe soy sauce and stuff like that, but different.
That sounds delightful. I should get this. Delicious. I don't know if they have it in Florida or not.
I spoke to my co-host Maria from Army of Dorkness, and she's in close to Jacksonville. She said that there is, I think, one in Jacksonville, but they are few and far between.
I don't trust it in Florida as much as I do in California.
Yes, I don't know if the Koreans travel down south to Florida.
Well, technically, you're closer to Korea over in California.
Yes, we are. Normally, we go to – there is a section of downtown L.A. close that's called Koreatown, and it's a couple blocks of some really good restaurants and businesses and stuff like that, and that's where we normally go for Korean barbecue. But we went to one recently that was it's sort of somewhat close to us, and we're not going to go back to them because it was not as good. We were not satisfied.
What was it, like North Korean or something like that?
No. The DPK, yes. No, it was not. But it we see, the place that we go to always is by far one of the best in LA, and for their sides, for their meat, just for like basically their service and stuff like that. This place was, it just was a little bit smaller. The meat was all right, but the sides were very kind of pedestrian. They weren't really anything special or anything like that. So, you know, for the amount of money that we spent, we could have definitely just driven another 10 minutes and got something really awesome.
Hey, speaking of North Korean food, did you know that the North Korean food, I remember reading about this a while back, it's they throw gasoline all over clams and cook it.
I do. Wow. I'm not...
They drenched the clams in, like, I'm reading this on Kotaku back in 2012. It says the clams were drenched in 2 500-milliliter plastic bottles of gas and then light ablaze, and then they burned for about 5 minutes, and the Japanese person writing about this said they were some of the best clams he had ever eaten, but they were slightly underdone.
Yeah, was it unleaded or was it diesel?
I think it was just regular gasoline. There's a video that I'm not going to play here, but it does say since raw clams cause food poisoning, they tend to get liquored up on soju or whatever. So,
well, that... Okay, did you say North Korea? Because more North than Korea, not,
yeah,
they're not going to have soju in North Korea because they're that's South Korea.
No, well, the article, maybe the article's lying to us.
So. I think so. I normally, because North Korea is not really known for stuff like that. I mean, maybe there is some soju out there. Koreans do love the soju, but you know, since they are a restrictive, and I've read a few things about North Korea. They're
crazy over there, man.
Their foods are not really as roots and berries and twigs and the like.
It looks like there's actually a little bit of alcohol in North Korea. I just pulled up an article from Bon Appetit, and there's North Korea's Pyongyang soju. And it looks
there you weird. Go.
It looks like a ball of Sprite or something like that. It's all green and colorful and everything.
I've had that before.
It probably tastes like piss, but
I've had the South Korean soju. So you know what? I was assuming that it was that they were talking about food in prison camps, not in the normal I guess government restricted houses. Hey, in North Korea, so who knows?
The last episode I had, episode 12, my friend Sarah was on, and she's a beer and alcohol connoisseur, even writing a book about it, which is really cool. And I asked her what, like, the worst beer that she'd ever had was, and she said it was a brand called Hebrew, and she had high hopes for it because it looked all classy, but Hebrew beer was gross to her. So I was going to ask you, following in those footsteps, what you sounded very shocked by the Hebrew beer.
Yeah, Hebrew beer is really good.
Really? I wonder if she got a bad bottle of it or something like that.
Maybe she's just a chick who doesn't understand beer. No. Hebrew beer is one of the most delicious. They're out in New York, and they're really good. They actually have some really good. Their anniversary beers are really good with a high percentage, almost like 16%. Sometimes I think was the last one I got, 14 or 16. They have beers they call them Saint Lenny Bruce. You know, Lenny Bruce was the comedian.
He's great. Comedian.
Yeah, and so they have beers dedicated to him. Hebrew is really good beer.
I've got like a duel in the podcast going on right now. You against Sarah, you know?
Yeah, Sarah, you best check yourself before you wreck yourself, especially if you're writing a so-called book.
I said the worst beer I'd ever had was the Sam Adams Summer Ale. Have you ever heard that?
I have had Summer Ale. No, those aren't bad.
It tasted like somebody mixed a Sprite in with beer. It was awful.
No, if you want bad, I've drank. It's almost like I'm going to go Dusty Rose. I've dined, I've wined and dined with kings and queens, and I ate in with bums in alleys for pork and beans or something like that. In college, no money. Nobody has money in college, especially kids. And I basically spent years drinking malt liquor. So I got 40s of malt liquor, not only Old English, but some of the worst stuff you could find, because the cheaper the better, because it usually has the higher percentage alcohol. So you don't really have to buy that much because you're getting loaded. So I had Steel Reserve. Why don't you try a Steel Reserve? That's actually much worse.
Oh, and it will get you loaded. That sounds awful. That sounds the worst beer ever.
You can't go wrong with the 211. Yeah, the 211 is actually it's the chemical sign for steel or something like that. Can't remember what it is. Yeah, they made a little gimmick for their steel reserve. I've had St. Ides. St. Ides will screw you up. No. I've had worse. There's American beers mostly are the crappiest ones. You know, Miller or Budweiser or things like that. So, you know, it's stuff that is just water. But Hebrew is really delicious.
The Red Dog. You left out Red Dog, man.
I have had Red Dog. They don't make that anymore. It's probably
do they not? Red Dog's gone?
People probably got blind on that.
I had no idea Red Dog was gone. That was like always my go-to beer to suggest to people when they're like, I need some beer. I'm like, go get some Red Dog.
I don't think Red Dog's been around since like the late 90s or early 2000s.
Man, when did Red Dog go away? That's
You want another crappy beer? How about Mickey's? Everyone starts with Mickey's. I think that was my first beer, my first 40 in college or high school. And I think that's pretty much everyone's first beer.
Oh, man. Well, it says... It says since 2005, it has been returning to stores in a current price segment between Miller High Life and Milwaukee's Best. And then Wikipedia says citation needed, which means that statement's probably not even true.
Because it probably somebody found a case of it in their cooler that they forgot to sell about 10 years ago, and they're selling them on the racks. Yeah, geez, in between what was it? Milwaukee's Beast and what
Milwaukee,
was
Milwaukee Milwaukee's Best and Miller High Life.
It's so bad it was called Milwaukee's Beast because it would be just awful. Yeah, the High Life and Beast are just god awful. So if you're nuzzled right in between them, you got some problems, pal.
Oh man, yeah. Yeah, that's well. I'm gonna have to find a new crappy beer to recommend to people. So
that's on the white trash section of the beer aisle.
I think I'll stick with Natural Ice. Is that still a thing?
No, God, that's awful too. Good Lord.
Well, I'm trying to recommend bad beer to people.
Bad beer. Keystone. Keystone's awful as well. God, we used to drink that all the time. PBR. PB Pabst Blue Ribbon sucks.
I always hear people say good things about Pabst
Blue Ribbon. It is awful. It won a blue ribbon in 1920 or 1930. That's why, you know, when they were actually giving away blue ribbons for the five beers that they made in America.
Man, the first beer I ever had at my dad's house, it was just a regular old Budweiser. Mm-hmm. And I had to spit it out, man. It tasted like water. It was watered down. It was everything people say about it was true.
Yeah, it's piss and water. I think that's what they – and then they use some hops. No, they don't even use hops. Just sugar, and that's about it.
They keep – what's this Beechwood ale or what is it? Like –
God
Beechwood?
Damn.
What? Why are they so obsessed with Beechwood?
Pardon my language. They claim that it's Beechwood aged, which is a bunch
yes.
of horse
what is that
patootie.
Mean? What is Beechwood aged? I don't even know what that means.
It's a tree, obviously, but they're claiming that they age it over the beer is actually made over Beechwood aged or Beechwood wood. So they burn it and kind of cook it over that.
I remember during the Super Bowl, they had that commercial. They're like, let all those people have their pumpkin peach ale. And everybody, all the people I knew were like, well, that sounds kind of good, actually. I kind of want to try that one.
I like pumpkin ale. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't know. Budweiser. Beer is just confusing. So if you want to be not confused by beer, it's The Catholic Drinkies Guide to Homebrewed Evangelism. It ships out on June 1st. So there you go, Sarah. There is my plug for you.
Or if you really want to know about beer, you just follow me on Twitter at Beer Baron for Life. I just actually checked in for a Bell's Brewery Oberon, which is a delicious – it's a American kind of golden ale, 5.8%. It is delicious. Bell's Brewery is a small brewery located out in Michigan. And when we find it in California, that's when you know it's a treat.
Oh, man. That sounds like a good road trip for you and Dr. Girlfriend to do someday.
I'm never going to Michigan.
Oh, well, I don't blame you for that one. What's wrong with Michigan?
I don't own a flak jacket or a gun.
You might need those things to survive in Detroit. So, because their sports teams are not surviving in Detroit at all.
Well, actually, the Tigers are winning this year. They're in first place. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. They're in first place in April. That's amazing right there. Man, that's good stuff.
Less than 10 games in the season, you're in first place.
How are the Cardinals doing?
I don't know. But the Dodgers are in first place. I know that. They just hauled off 6 wins in a row, and they swept the former first place Colorado Rockies.
Have they played the Giants yet?
They are going up to San Francisco to go mop the floor with the Giants because the Giants are not very good this year.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And somebody at work asked me if I cheered for a baseball team. I just said, yes, whoever is playing against the St. Louis Cardinals. I figure yes. That's a good team to cheer for.
Yes,
yeah, I think everybody can get behind that. So
they're dirty racists.
The Cardinals are the worst. That's why that Twitter account, Best Fans,
St. Louis, man, greatest one ever.
Oh, it's so vile and filthy. The worst people in the world tweeting and getting retweeted by that account. But but the best part is when people try to like delete their tweets and stuff. Best Fans will come back and be like, "Oh, hey, you deleted this. Was it an accident?" Oh man, hey, you know what else I enjoyed Daredevil on Netflix. That was fantastic, man,
that was great. That was better than I thought it was gonna be.
Much better. I thought it was just gonna be like, okay, this will pass the time, but man, I stayed up way too late and woke up way too early to watch that show.
how many days did you do it in?
I did it in one solid week. Well, nice. 6 days, because I started it on a Saturday and okay. I wrapped it up on a Friday night, so about a week.
That's not bad. We did it that came out the Friday or last Friday. We did it last Saturday and Sunday. We did about maybe six and seven episodes each day. So yeah, it was crazy.
You did good. Now I had not planned to watch all of it by Friday night, but then we were talking about the podcast and I wanted to talk about Daredevil, and I felt like I needed to be informed to give the people good information. So
yes, you did.
If you're listening and you have not if you've not seen the show, I would recommend just turning this podcast off. James and I, we will be around as long as internet exists, so you can come back and listen to this. And if you don't have Netflix, honest to God, the show's worth just paying $9 or whatever for just a month. Watch Netflix or watch Daredevil and then cancel Netflix if you need to.
If you're industrious enough, you can find it for free streaming at certain sites.
Which
may or may not have been what I have done. So I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I will pretend that you are not Judas Priest and you did not break the law. So how was that Judas Priest song? Breaking
that
the law?
That was Judas Priest.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Breaking the law. Piracy was big in my family, apparently, and I'm just embracing my heritage. Yes, so let me just ask you a quick question. Now, are you shaking a tambourine back and forth? Because I keep on hearing
that. That's my stupid chair, and I apologize for that. It will not happen again ever.
Look, Mr. Tambourine Man, let me just tell you something. All right, so were you not a Daredevil of the, a fan of the comics?
I liked it okay as a kid, but I never like really got into it or follow it. I had like a few Daredevil issues from like 1983-84. Looking back as an adult, that was probably right after Frank Miller got done with his Daredevil run.
Right on. Yeah,
but it's pretty cool, I thought, as a kid and you know, growing up in like a Bible Belt, you know, not a beat yourself over the head religious household, but a you know, Bible Belt household nonetheless. I think my mom was like, I don't know about this, because one day my Daredevil comics just mysteriously vanished. I don't know what happened to him. It was crazy. But
now, was it because Daredevil, it was the name Daredevil, or was it because also Matt Murdock, there's a lot of religious undertones for the especially the comics of the 80s and 90s.
I'm pretty sure it was just the suit. I don't know how much mom, I love you, but I don't know how much my mom read the Daredevil comic to get any context to his suit or anything like that. But I think she just saw like a dude in a devil suit being praised as a hero and thought, not under my roof, Matt Murdock, you go practice your law somewhere else. But
you've been disbarred.
But he didn't seem like he was like ever like one of the biggest, most popular characters that Marvel had, even back in the 90s. Because I always look at like the video games and like all of the Marvel Capcom fighting games, he was never in any of those.
Yeah,
neither was right. Iron Man, really. So War Machine was in it, but not Iron Man himself.
Well, Iron Man for Marvel superheroes, what's it called? Marvel Capcom 2. I know I have that for the PS2, and Iron Man is in that one as well. He is.
I haven't played that one in.
But
you're
very astute in saying that Daredevil was not really – he was more of like an undercover hero. You know, the biggest heroes of Marvel were always, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men and Fantastic Four and Captain America, especially Hulk and those guys, the Avengers. But yeah, Daredevil was that type of hero that he was more – down to earth for personality, but for in level of maybe powers, where he wasn't like he wasn't the god of thunder or the god of lightning. He wasn't a gigantic dude who turned into a green monster, or a mutant with metal claws. He was a blind guy. He was a lawyer, and he happened to have enhanced senses and stuff like that. So
yeah, and up until like this Marvel Cinematic Universe explosion, it seems like the street level heroes, they didn't really get a lot of promotion or publicity or anything. I mean, you had Punisher, it had that movie with Thomas Jane or whatever. But other than that, like the street level guys, like the Ghost Rider and the Daredevil and the Luke Cage and Iron Fist, I mean, they're not, headlining video games or movies or TV shows or cartoons or anything like that.
Yeah, you're right.
That's interesting. It's the street level guys that don't get that publicity.
It is. I mean, Blade had his three movies, and Punisher character had his. Well, if you count the one with Dolph Lundgren, he had three movies as well. Ghost Rider had a couple, two movies. But yeah, they weren't as well received as something along the lines of an X-Men or a Spider-Man or especially Avengers. So
would you consider Blade a street level guy though?
I would. Yeah, you would? I would. Oh, okay. Definitely.
All right. I'll get behind that then.
Vampire who's, doesn't have crazy, he's got powers. He doesn't have crazy, otherworldly powers. But yeah, it's really cool that guy like Daredevil gets to see the light of day, for TV, especially getting the Marvel treatment as opposed to, the movie with Ben Affleck, the old one, which
they did do that. I forgot about that. I forgot about that until you brought it up.
I've withstood years and years and years of really wanting to see that movie because I've just heard that it's not as good. And I'm not a huge Daredevil fan, but I'm a very big Daredevil fan. I like, I followed the comic a lot when I was reading comics in high school and college. And, I'm a big Bullseye fan. So, I am glad that Daredevil finally gets the treatment that it deserves.
I think you would enjoy, if you go back and watch the Daredevil, the director's cut version of that movie, where they add like 20 or nearly 30 minutes of like action and dialogue and stuff back into the movie. I hear from people that's the version to watch because I've always heard and I've seen it, so I can vouch as well that Ben Affleck and Colin Farrell as a Bullseye, those performances are not the issue with the movie. It's more of the storyline and the way they try to explain powers and stuff. But I thought Ben Affleck did a fine job as Matt Murdock and Colin Farrell, especially as Bullseye. If they wanted to bring him back to reprise that Bullseye character in the Netflix series next season, I'd have no problem with that at all. That'd be a lot of fun, actually. I don't know how you feel about Colin Farrell, but I thought he was great.
Well, two things. I did hear that the director's cut is the one to go and to watch, especially if you are a Daredevil fan. Colin Farrell, I like Colin Farrell a lot. He's been recently he's had a lot of some kind of smaller movies that he's been good in. And I don't think that he will be in the Netflix one, but I'm sure they'll get somebody else who is equally as good or maybe just a lesser name just because they're also trying to they're trying to scrimp. The funny thing is it's not a multi-million-dollar budget for Daredevil and just from a production standpoint, because I have a background in film and I've worked in the industry before, I loved watching not only enjoying the shows for their dialogue and for their action, but enjoyed just seeing how much they got away with by using lighting to their advantage using smaller stages or sets for instead of these gigantic set pieces like you would have in the Avengers and stuff like that. They definitely minimalized and saved a lot of money in certain things like that. So that's why I don't think somebody like a Colin Farrell will be in, because his pay would probably take a lot of that money.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Actually, I know you're right about that. But that's interesting. Yeah, after trying to save money, not having a big budget, going to those street level guys without the fantastical powers, things you can explain on screen without a big budget. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a wise decision on their end, because yeah, if you tried to do like a Thor series on a small budget, that would be awful. Like, I don't think anybody would enjoy that very much.
Well, no, because you know his powers are predicated on you know lightning, and lightning for special effect costs money. You know, all those special effects cost money. But when you have a guy who has you know they only showed the because when he was asked could he see, Matt Murdock said yes, I can see, but it's like the whole world is on fire. I only remember them showing that twice. I think in the show.
Yeah, I kept waiting for them to like do it again, but they never did. So I need to go back and watch. Rewatch that and see how they did that. But two things that pop up for me with the Daredevil. I love the Daredevil. I didn't love the Avengers as much as other people, but you know it is a fine passable movie. But here's the thing that I was thinking about is now you've seen the gritty side, you've seen the ugly side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe storyline wise. Avengers and Iron Man and you know the movies behind that. You weren't dealing with Russians kidnapping children and mm-hmm. selling them, you know, as like sex slaves or whatever. But now you've seen that. So now I'm thinking like when I'm going to go watch like Avengers 2 or whatever, and they're all busy, you know, with this, you know, big, you know, problems, all these big villains and stuff like that. In the back of my mind, I'm like, hey, guys, you might want to take care of these problems in, you know, Hell's Kitchen. There's children being kidnapped and you're off doing God knows what. It just feels like that juxtaposition from the light-sidedness of the Avengers movies and those Marvel movies to that dark, gritty side of, you know, Daredevil and, you know, the mm-hmm. upcoming series as well. I don't know how I'm going to – I'm sure I'll enjoy everything, but it's just a weird kind of dynamic at play.
It is. It's true. I mean, it's when, you know, we compare the Avengers to Daredevil, the Avengers are more of like the macro where it's obviously they have the worldly protection, the worldly events. And then Daredevil is the micro where it's the microcosm of the, you know, the X amount of blocks that Hell's Kitchen really is. And whereas, you know, because they did say that, oh, the event. And when the event, when they say that they meant the events from Avengers.
Yeah. They even showed that newspaper page of the big battle.
Yeah. Very cool. And then you understand that, okay, well, these superheroes of the Avengers, they're taking care of bigger and better and, you know, larger kind of problems. And that's how somebody like the Kingpin can come in and basically cozy in and basically start taking over, you know, land, because those heroes are not looking at the smaller, you know, portions. And that's why you need heroes on that level of a Daredevil or an Iron Fist or something like that, because they're almost – it's like they're the micro heroes.
That's a good way to put it. And that's probably what I will think of, that explanation from you when I end up watching, you know, the Avengers movie or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever I'm watching. And also somebody mentioned in a comment and do you think that, you know, if you tried to throw Captain America into the world of Daredevil, like would he actually fit in or would he be considered like too over-the-top cheesy to really work in that world? Like, no, how much do you have to retool that character to get him to work?
I don't think you really have to retool him that much. I think because he is, I mean, you got to think about it. He's also he's a hand-to-hand fighter. You know, he has the shield, obviously, and he can, you know, bounce it off things. But we've now seen that Daredevil can bounce, you know, sticks and things off walls and stuff like that and get guys. So, Captain America always was one of those guys that he fit into both realms. Where he was he could be on the street battling the street thugs and helping out guys and going up against somebody like the Kingpin, like the same thing that Daredevil and Punisher and Spider-Man all tried to take on the Kingpin as well. And at the same time, he's got the leadership and the know-how to command a presence where he can be justified to be going up against something like alien, you know, species or a robot who's trying to take over the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I just didn't know if he would, like if his dialogue and mannerisms would be like too corny and get his butt kicked, you know, trying to exist in Hell's Kitchen.
Well, you might have to tweak him a little bit, but, you know, who's to say that it's going to be Chris Evans as Captain America? Maybe if Bucky takes over and Bucky's more of a hard nosed kind of Captain America, you could kind of have a little crossover, I guess, with Daredevil.
It could be you. You could take over for Captain America. They could put some serum into you and make you strong.
Do you know how I really want that?
It would be you, and it would be Usagi Yojimbo. He would show up and he would help you clean out Hell's Kitchen. I think that would be the best crossover ever.
Daredevil and Usagi Yojimbo, that'd be a crossover right there.
I did, one of my coworkers at work, I was a big Turtles fan, pointed out to me that when they created the Ninja Turtles, they borrowed, lovingly, but they did borrow so much of the Daredevil story in creating the Turtles. I thought that was pretty cool. Eastman and Laird said, in their mind, Matt Murdock is the boy carrying those turtles when the turtles fall and hit the radioactive goop. I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought, Daredevil and a Turtles crossover, they're both in the same area, pretty much. That would be really fun, actually.
They are. Wow. Yeah. You know, I think I had heard that before, but you just saying that again kind of,
jogged the memory.
Exactly. Exactly. So, who's your, your coworkers? He's a big turtle fan as well.
Yeah. Shout out to John. Thank you for listening, sir.
You, John.
Loves the turtles. And, if you want to know anything about the turtles, ask him. He's like a walking encyclopedia, Wikipedia or something like that.
Whoa. So he's a Turtlepedia.
Turtlepedia. Yeah, there you go. But no, I really did love the Daredevil, stuff, especially Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Oh,
I couldn't
man.
Even see him in that role. Like he just completely disappeared into that character.
That he's got to win an award for something.
He's got to win. I said on Twitter he should win the Emmy for supporting actor. Why not?
They're going to be up for some stuff. And not only is it, I think, sound design and production for that show, because what's really cool, and I didn't get a chance to say this before, but, instead of having – I know in the movie they did a little radar sense or something like that.
Yeah, that was lame.
You noticed that they didn't use any of that, and they scrimped on the special effects for something like that, but the sound design is wonderful because you can hear – heartbeats sometimes. You can hear things of that nature that show that Matt has those powers, that Murdock has those powers.
It sounds cliche, but when I was watching it, the sound was so good. It sounded like stuff was actually in my house or in my room. Yeah. It's just
how
very
cool is
crisp
that?
Sound effects. Really cool.
And I was incredibly impressed with Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
Great.
I know that he's an excellent actor, and he's been wonderful in everything that he's ever been in since the 70s that he started with Full Metal Jacket. That may have been his first film as Private Pyle.
He was crazy in that movie, man.
Sure was. But he was definitely channeling the Kingpin, the one that everyone knows and loves. Not saying that Michael Clark Duncan did not do a good job as the Kingpin in the movie. From what I heard, he did.
He was great. I really liked him in that.
I loved Michael Clark Duncan. It's a shame that we lost him. I think it was last year. But God, Vincent D'Onofrio was a wonderful Kingpin.
Yeah, he was. There are two scenes of, and also before I talk about the scenes that really just jolted me, I was rooting for him and Vanessa to make it as a couple, and I've never rooted for a evil supervillain to get the girl, but I really wanted them to work. I was kind of bummed when it looked like they weren't going to work.
You got to think about this. So one would say, okay, well, if he gets the girl, does he live happily ever after and forget about taking over, Hell's Kitchen or New York and become the Kingpin? No, I think that he would just continue becoming even more of a bigger monster.
Yeah.
Love would not change his path of destiny.
In the comics it did, though, didn't he? He actually gave that up for a while when his wife told him, give it up.
Yeah, I think so. But then she's also was part of the crime family a little bit as well. But then she also brought him out. I think when I read his Wikipedia bio a little bit ago, because there's a lot of many years that I haven't read. And, he's basically had power, had the power taken away, moved out of the country, come back, fought with his son, fought with other people, fought with other mafias and stuff like that. And so. Yeah, I think the wife is I think she started out not really either knowing or not wanting to believe that he was a kingpin of crime. But yeah.
They totally skipped over that because she was she was all in on him.
She was totally feeling it. Now, do you notice that when he got taken away and it was arrested, he gives her the ring.
Yeah.
He made sure that he proposed to her so that she – I have a feeling so that she can't testify against him.
That's a good point. But they're still not officially married, though. So
that is, yeah, would, very much, yeah, that's true.
But he's got so many people in power. I'm sure they could forge like a marriage certificate or something like that. He's the kingpin. Yeah. I just sent you a picture, by the way. People don't realize. I think the necklace this series finally made them realize that Kingpin's not just like a fat tubby tub of lard. He is a badass. Like, he can like hold his own against anybody. I sent you a clip from an old comic book. He nearly beat Captain America. It wasn't for that bird that Captain America has. That what do you call that? That Deuce Machina or whatever got in the machine.
Deuce Machina, yeah.
Yeah, that bird, Red Wing, was totally fulfilled that. Red Wing doesn't show up. Kingpin probably kills Captain America in that comic. It would have been fun. But
the amazing thing about Kingpin is, you know, yeah, he looks like a big fat dude, especially in the comic books, but mm-hmm. he's solid of like a 400-pound dude who can fight, who can hold his own in fights, and he's not fat at all. He is just all muscle.
It's muscle,
and
that's all it is. That's why I loved Michael Clark Duncan as that character, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I think of, and I don't care, you know, about the race issue or whatever. That didn't mean anything to me at all, but, you know, just that giant hulking man, but it's not fat. It's just like solid muscle or whatever. Like, yeah. That's what I think of when I think of the Kingpin now, and the series just reinforced it. Two things. The car door. All I gotta say to you is the car door. I thought I woke you up 3,000 miles away because I let out a scream and that happened. Not that I was scared, but it was like, oh my god, I can't believe that. That's
why I had to ask you why you were going, oh my god.
Yeah, because there's like so many moments with that.
Because we'd already moved on. We were like, oh my god, let's watch another episode. Yeah, the car door one was like, holy. He decapitated a dude with a car door.
Our friend Chris said that Game of Thrones needs to step up its blood and gore after seeing that scene with Kingpin in the car door. And I would have to agree with that.
How about this? And then the guy that Matt Murdock was supposed to defend in court, the guy who killed the other mob boss with a bowling ball.
They had
a big fight in the alley as Daredevil, or as the black hooded man, and he basically killed himself by impaling himself onto a metal spike.
He did that big gorilla headbutt or whatever onto that spike, like as like an Andre the Giant style headbutt or whatever, like onto the spike and impales himself. That was more intense to me because I hadn't seen anything in the show like that.
He called Murdoch, he called the black man, a coward. You know, hey, you don't even have the guts to kill me, so I have to do it myself. And which totally threw me for a loop, because I actually thought that he was going to be one of the guys who could possibly be later on, maybe in the next.
Me too.
Bullseye.
I thought that was Bullseye when he showed up at the beginning of that episode.
So I was like, oh crap, I guess that guy's not going to be Bullseye.
They did that on purpose. They cast a bald-headed dude that was like really awesome at like hand-to-hand fighting and everything. Oh, that's totally Bullseye. Like,
of course. How about that fight scene where he goes and just beats up everybody in the two rooms, so that one in the hallway.
Yeah.
So basically the hallway, now if you notice the camera shot, basically it goes up forward and then pans backwards, and that's all it basically did. It pans into the rooms and then pans out, but it was stationary pretty much in the hallway only.
Yeah, dude gets a microwave thrown at him or something like that. Ooh, it was awesome.
There's a lot of stuff like
that was the best fight scene I've ever seen in any movie or TV show. Feel confident saying that's the best one I have ever seen in my life. It was beautiful. They should win. We're talking about awards, choreography, man.
They need to do so. And then I liked the guy, Scott Glenn, that got to play Stick. I think he was awesome. He totally fit the bill of how just such a jerk Stick is.
Oh, he's a crusty old jerk, man. He mm-hmm. was so mean telling Murdoch, get rid of your friends or whatever. I was mm-hmm. like, dude, you're nuts. I can't say enough good things about the series.
I watched it. I mean, we watched it so fast, like I said, over 2 days, that I think I it's almost like when we finished, it was almost like I had a food baby, but of Daredevil. we were stuffed on Daredevil, and I turned and talked to Doc girlfriend, and I said that I go, I'm gonna have to watch it again, but I need to just basically deprogram from it for a little bit. yeah. and then watch it slowly. Now that I've seen it, now I want to just dissect each episode per episode.
Yeah, I told my wife when she gets here, she's a little busy right now because she's got the kids without me in Virginia. She'll be with me in about a month. Yay! I miss my wife very much.
Living the Florida bachelor life.
Which I have spent most of my time playing Grand Theft Auto V over the last week. So nice. Not much of a bachelor life here, but or maybe it is.
I don't know. It's 100% bachelor.
It is totally bachelor. I'm a king of a criminal enterprise on my computer. It's fantastic.
Congratulations.
But I told her, I was like, well, you've got to watch this show with me again. It's really great. And this will come to no surprise to, you know, people who read the comic book regularly. But I really liked that they did not treat his religion as a punching bag at all. I'm a Catholic. Matt Murdock is a Catholic, you know, in the comic books and on the TV mm-hmm. show. And I love that they treated it with such reverence. I felt, as a practicing Catholic, that was probably like one of the most respectful portraits of my faith that I've ever seen in a TV show or a movie. Like right down to the priest reminding them, hey, this is sacrament of reconciliation. I can't, you know, the seal of mm-hmm. confession. I can't tell anybody. And that's so important for that character to have, you know, that confidant or whatever. And I'm glad they did such a good job with that, with that priest.
Religion is a focal point in Daredevil. It's always been like that. And, you know, it's pretty cool to kind of, you know, religion is always a tough subject to kind of have in some shows because some people will hate it and some people will love it and some people will be like, well, you're not doing it any justice. And I think it did very well by it, they didn't go too deep, but they didn't, you know, skim the top. The guy who was the priest, he was a very well-written character too. It was a likable character too.
He's very likable, especially when he would scold Matt and Matt would like interrupt the story and he's like, did I finish talking?
I like that.
That was so good. I like that he had that authority figure in his life, you know, because he's running around. He doesn't have any authority figures in any other part of his life, but he still has that that older gentleman full of wisdom and knowledge mm-hmm. to go to kind of keep him grounded. And without that priest keeping him grounded, Daredevil probably is dead, you know, 5 or 6 episodes in. So you can't say enough about that guy.
Now, as for the episode, obviously we loved it. It was 13 episodes. Did you catch a lot of the Easter eggs that were in there?
I've got to go back and watch it. I did not catch the Iron Fist connection with Madame Gao until when she's leaving. And the guy's like, you're going back to China? And she's like, I'm going to someplace a lot farther away than China. I was like, oh, that's Iron Fist. That's like whatever city that is.
Well, the logo on the drugs, everyone says it was Iron Fist. It's actually not the Iron Fist logo. It's his arch nemesis. I think, what is it, Steel Snake or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
She's definitely has a connection with the Iron Fist character, and that's going to be pretty cool because Iron Fist is coming up.
Yeah, when's that coming out?
I don't know. It's got to be. They're all pretty. They're all going to follow each other. I know Jessica Jones, and then Iron Fist, and then Power Man.
Kunlun is the name of the city that she was going back to, and I was trying to find the name. Yep, Steel Serpent. You're exactly right about that. I loved Power Man and Iron Fist comic books when I was a kid, and my friends made fun of me, so I feel like I'm getting the last laugh when this Netflix series comes out, because if it's nearly as good as this one, it's going to be fun.
I think so. You know, obviously they're going to be two separate, and then they're going to join up, you know, hopefully after, because they are teammates in the comics. And they, you know, Power Fist. I am Power Fist. That sounds like a He-Man character. That was Fist. Power Man and Luke Cage and Iron Fist were such a really cool combo. Yeah. You know, it was such two guys that really had – they were similar but so very different, and it kind of just worked.
And not to toot our own horn, I don't know the specific episode, but I'm pretty sure that years ago, before this Netflix deal was even in place, you and I said that Power Man and Iron Fist would make a great movie if they ever did a Marvel movie of that someday.
Yeah,
so it's like they listened to us, man.
I know.
I'm kind of happy about that. But
did you see the other Easter egg? Do you remember the Wilson Fisk's shooter who shot the cop? in the heart and put him in the coma, and then they had to dispatch him. He was up on the roof and he was shooting a couple people. Did you notice that there's somebody had put in a screenshot on his bag? There was a like a playing card, and that's most notably known for Bullseye.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Which also, when Jack Murdoch, Matt's dad, came back from a boxing match, and he told his son to go get the med kit, and he opened up the med kit.
There was a playing card. I didn't know what that was all about.
Ace of Spades. Usually, Bullseye is known for the Ace of Spades.
The Ace of Spades.
Yes,
he's got me singing that song.
It's Motorheads. Maybe Bullseye should be played by Lemmy.
That would be the best. I think you've just discovered like the next great cinematic venture, you know, in the heels of Citizen Kane and The Godfather.
I'm here to kill you, Daredevil.
I want this to happen more than life itself. It sounds fantastic. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the shows. I'm really looking forward to the Jessica Jones show that's coming out.
I'm not as familiar with her as I am with the other three.
Well, the main reason I am is because David Tennant is playing Purple Man, and David Tennant is the star of my favorite show that's ever been made, Doctor Who.
Of all time. Yeah.
And I told my wife about it. She's really, really excited about the Jessica Jones show just because Tennant is the bad guy. And I told her, it's like, you know, Tennant is going to be playing a guy who's a murderer. He's a rapist. He's done all. You can't cheer for him. And she's like, no, absolutely not. I will cheer for him. So my wife is going to be the only person cheering for a murderer and a rapist on television. So,
you know,
way to go, honey.
Good job.
She never listened to the show. She's not going to hear this. But
no, it's okay. And you know, that was breaking news for me because I haven't really followed the other. I knew what was going on with Daredevil. I didn't know the casting decisions for some of Jessica Jones. I had no clue that David Tennant was going to be Purple Man.
Yeah, he's going to be really, really good at
that role. Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's great. Did you watch him in the that Broadchurch or Grace Point show?
No.
No? Oh, it was really good. He was really good in that one, too. He's a crusty jerk in that show, but he was really good at it.
I've heard that he's a very good actor. So, you know, as long as these four shows, especially with Daredevil being as good and everyone talking about it, that generates a lot of kind of buzz for Netflix, gets a lot of new subscriptions. And I think with these three more shows coming, there's going to be a lot more people that are being, you know, they're probably tentative at first because they probably were, you know, I've heard good and bad things about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for fans of Marvel.
I haven't really watched it that much. I can't tell you anything.
I haven't either. I haven't either. And I don't think I want to because I don't really like network TV. And I think with the you're very constrained with when you have network TV or anything like that. But when you have Netflix, they get away with a lot of stuff. This was ultra violent compared to any other thing that I've ever seen.
This doesn't happen outside of Netflix ever.
No, I don't think it does. Maybe HBO, but I don't think HBO would even take on something like this.
No, they would probably try to, I don't know. It feels like every HBO show, there's like some like political beef or something like that they throw in there. So there'd probably be, I don't know, Daredevil would beat up George Bush or something. I don't know what he would do.
Because I compare it to kind of, with the most violent shows from HBO. I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I've heard that's pretty violent. But the ones I'm basing it on, Sopranos and The Wire, those are pretty, you know, violent. And they had things that you were like, whoa, that's crazy. I think Daredevil just takes it even a notch further just with some of the – especially the fights and just how gory some of the stuff was.
It shows that the fighting is grounded and real. Like you don't recover, you know. The next take, you're not going to get rid of your bruises or whatever. They're going to stay there, you know. And I really like that as well.
I just hope that, you know, if these other three are really receptive to them, that more characters can be – it opens a door for more Marvel characters – to have Netflix series, and I hope that Moon Knight gets a series.
Like the Marvel Batman? Isn't that what
Moon Knight is? Yes, he is the Marvel Batman.
Is he the same as Batman, or is he a little different?
No, he's a little different. I think he's also schizophrenic, or he has multiple personality disorders. So,
that doesn't sound like Batman at all.
No, not at all.
No, that was not sarcasm. That really doesn't sound like Batman, but I could see where somebody might think I was being sarcastic about that.
But he is a rich guy who, you know, basically is a Moon Knight.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Does he kill people?
Yeah, I think he's known to do some of that. He's a little crazy. He's the embodiment of the Egyptian god Khnoshu or something like that. And that is the god of vengeance and the moon and stuff like that. And so, yeah, he was killed in Africa or in Egypt. He was a mercenary and he was resurrected thanks to the statue that he was near. And he now serves that.
I'll tell you the comic book that I liked when I was a kid, and nobody's brought up turning it into a show. Maybe somebody's thinking about it.
I know what you're going to say.
Power Pack.
I know what you're going to say.
I was going to say Power Pack.
You've said it before. I think that actually would be a really good idea.
Because, I mean, it's a bunch of preteen like kids like as superheroes or whatever, and it seems like that would get a ton of kids would love watching that. And they come out with all sorts of stuff that's similar to that, you know, kids getting powers and stuff like that. So You know, why not do a Power Pack, cartoon?
I was reading something recently. It was an older X-Men comic, and that Power Pack had guested in it. It was the fall. It was the Morlock Massacre, and there was an episode or an issue of Power Pack in this trade paperback, and they said that actually they all switched powers at one point. Did that happen? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It's been long since I've read it.
I think could be a really cool gimmick. Every so often, the powers get switched, and now
the older kid
now has because in the issue I was reading, the kids were all dealing with how to deal with new powers because they're not used to the new powers that the other kids had.
Yeah, and I think it's cool. You know, you've got a. And when it started off, there were the oldest kid was 12 and the youngest kid was 5, and they also had to had to hide it from their parents or whatever. And you know, you think it's hard enough for an adult like Spider-Man or Daredevil to hide a secret identity from loved ones. Imagine trying to be a kid hiding that stuff. Like,
yeah,
good luck. There's no way you could do it in real life. But
how did they get their powers?
It says blah 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 blah. They
comet. Did Galactus give them the cosmic power?
There's some scientific experiment and stuff like that. So,
always.
Yeah, it's, but they dealt with a lot of stuff like bullies and losing their teeth and stuff like that. And that would be a really cool cartoon or something like that on Cartoon Network or whatever channel you want to put it on. I don't know, ABC Family, I guess.
I would agree. You know, I think it could be done with both as a live action and a cartoon, but I think it would be best utilized as a cartoon series.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Kind of like Ben 10. Did you ever watch Ben 10?
No, my nephew did, but
that's actually a really cool show.
I've heard.
You should do that. So. And the Wikipedia doesn't really condense it down into how they got their powers. I don't feel like reading three paragraphs to you, but basically, this dude tried to do an experiment, and before he died, he passed his powers on to the kids so that the kids could complete the mission or whatever. So,
there's always dudes doing experiments.
It was
dudes
an antimatter test or something
until the end of time. Dudes will do experiments.
Yeah, and that's basically what that is. But that's what I want to see. Maybe somebody will do it. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But
do you have any besides Power Pack? Do you have anything else? Any other comic or Marvel characters that you would like to see on the big screen, or either the big screen or the Netflix screen?
I mean, I would love to see Spider-Man cameo in the one of those Daredevil series. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fun. Somebody, one of the guys that's in the top reigns of Marvel, he said that there's already a kid running around in a homemade Spider-Man costume doing Spider-Man as Peter Parker or whatever, and we just don't know about it yet. I thought that was kind of cool, but I don't know who else I would want to see on there. Some people want the New Warriors to be on there. No, the New Warriors are lame. What's that dude with the red mask, looks like a ninja, Night Thrasher or something like that?
Yeah, Night Thrasher.
He's so lame. He looks like he should be cool, but he's not. He's totally lame.
All right, I got a name for you because I like Moon Knight, obviously. Moon Knight is the number one. Number two, or maybe the 1A. You ever heard of Sleepwalker?
No.
Sleepwalkers are really cool. Like, I think it came out in the mid to late 90s, and it did about, I think, 30 issues. I'm active on eBay. I'm trying to get the entire collection and not have to spend $30 or something on it. But the character Sleepwalker is actually, it's an alien interdimensional kind of police force. There's multiple sleepwalkers, but he is attached onto a human, and the character Sleepwalker can only come out when the human host goes to sleep.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool, actually.
And he's got some really cool powers, you know, super strength and things like that. And so he's basically fighting justice. And when his human host wakes up, and I think he knows that he has the Sleepwalker. I think he can see stuff in his dreams or something like that. But I think that would be a really cool, it kind of could be done where it's like, you know, maybe the main character goes for a sleep study, you know, he's a college student or something, because in the comic he is a college student. You know, he goes for a sleep study to, you know, and maybe when he's hooked up to the machine, somehow like lightning strikes it. You know, maybe you could even tie it to Thor being, you know, that's his lightning. And, you know, somehow the wires get crossed and now he has a interdimensional person, like a parasitic, you know, attached to him or something.
You know what happens when you cross the streams. You're not supposed to cross the streams.
It would be very bad.
I did think of two. You know, their universes have already been in film, but I want to see a proper Gambit. Nobody's done a proper Gambit before, and it makes me sad. And Beta Ray Bill, where's Beta Ray Bill at?
Wow, they were so two things. Channing Tatum's going to be Gambit.
Is he again? I thought he was already Gambit once in that movie. No, that was
Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yes. So Channing Tatum is going to be Gambit.
Beta Ray Bill. They are talking about one of the Avengers possibly dying, not in this one, but in another one. Maybe
part. Good. It's about time there were some high stakes.
But one of the main ones, and I'm looking at two of them. One being Thor, and one being Captain America. Simply because both guys in real life have said it's kind of a pain in the ass to train and keep up the, you know, the looking like a jacked monster. You know, in the off hours of recording. So, yeah, Hemsworth and or Evans might be departing this series.
You know, before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I would have said people would not accept, like, a horse-looking dude as, like, a Thor. But people liked Groot and Rocket Raccoon or whatever in Guardians of the Galaxy. That worked, and nobody had a problem with that. So now I think that Beta Ray Bill could work. So
There's a lot of people who like Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill is so much fun. It's a horse. It's a horse-looking thing that has a hammer. That's the best thing. When I was a kid, that was just like one of those, like, you know, you know, when you're reading comic books for the first time, there's all these, like, fantastical characters, and that's the one that stood out to me the most, of just like the most bizarre, unique, and really cool characters you would see. Beta Ray Bill was that for me. I was like, that's just so neat. Like, I'd never even seen anything remotely similar to Beta Ray Bill ever, character, you know, anything like that. So yeah, he's a personal childhood favorite of mine.
Who knows? We may see him. You know, Thanos comes out, destroys a bunch of galaxies. Beta Ray Bill's the only one left of his people, or, you know, something like that. And maybe he helps out and joins. Well, I don't know if they are, but yeah, maybe.
I will mark out so hard if Beta Ray Bill shows up in this Avengers movie. Are you going to go see this new Avengers movie, or are you going to wait a while for it?
I will go see it. So it's coming out in, the beginning of May, right?
I think like May.
May 8th?
Yeah, something like that. I was going to say May 2nd, but I'm like, no, that's The Rock's birthday, and that's a Saturday. That's when Mayweather and Pacquiao fight.
Yes. So I will see it. We'll probably see it maybe the first weekend, depending on what's going on with our schedules and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm down to see it. Are you going to see it?
Yeah, I'm going to wait for my wife to get here. We'll probably go do that like on a date night or whatever.
Nice.
I think that'll be fun. But
yeah, I can't wait for that. I also can't wait for Star Wars.
Star Wars comes out. You saw the trailer. I'm sure you did.
Oh, man.
Dude, the line where Han tells Chewie we're home, that, like, 4 seconds was better than all of the prequels put together, multiplied by infinity or whatever. It was beautiful.
It was so great. Okay, it put down a lot of the angst that people were feeling from that little teaser. Remember the short, almost a minute, maybe a minute 15 seconds of the, you know, we got the soccer ball droid, we got the black stormtrooper, we got, you know, this girl riding off on a thing. This thing was like, holy crap.
Yep.
This was the equivalent of hitting a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam home run.
Yeah, it was. But did you not think that Harrison Ford just looked like the world's oldest cosplayer in a Han Solo suit?
He did. It was a little sad.
They should have, like, updated his suit just a little bit or dyed his hair or something. I love it. I'm not going to see that movie because Harrison Ford looked ridiculous. He just looked kind of silly, kind of cute.
I will totally see it, and the number one reason being is that George Lucas has nothing. Is basically only maybe a creative consultant or anything like that. He is not writing. He's not directing. He's not doing anything with it. Everyone else, the movies were. Empire Strikes Back was good for a reason because somebody else, Kirshner directed it, and somebody else wrote it.
Yeah, Lucas just produced it.
Yeah,
I like to imagine Lucas sends like ideas to like Abrams or whoever is in charge. Like, hey, what could you do this? And they just email back, LOL, no. I like to think that happened at least once or twice. But Luke, you got to hear Luke talking, and I thought that was fun. Skywalker was addressing the crowd.
Yeah, but we don't know if that was him with the robot hand touching R2-D2 at all. Yeah. And we don't know if that was him.
It was me.
I have the super serum and I'm a Jedi.
Oh, geez, so, Louise, man, you're awesome.
I'm all over the place. I'm intergalactic. So as we dissect the trailer, we'll fast forward a little bit. The lightsaber, what'd you think about that?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it didn't jump out at me as like negative or positive.
I'm about to cook your noodle right here.
Do it.
That is apparently the lightsaber that Luke lost in Bespin, Cloud City, when his hand got cut off by Vader.
Whoa! How'd he get it back? Oh man!
I don't know.
My mind is blown.
Another thing, the planet. That desert planet, that's not Tatooine. That's another desert planet.
I told that to somebody at work, and they called you a liar. John, the TMNT fan, but another friend. I think my friend Steve. I don't think he called you a liar. He said, no, that's Tatooine. So.
No, my friend. You know what? Stick this in his face. The planet is like Jessic or something like that.
Lame.
Yeah, well, hey, and now here's the other thing.
Sounds like a 16-year-old girl's birthday or something like that.
Ooh, oh, happy birthday, Jessica!
Birthday party.
When the Millennium Falcon was flying, I'm going to put money on saying
you don't
that
think that was him.
No, that was not Han Solo flying.
My friend Steve was more receptive to that idea. I could see that being the Black Stormtrooper flying the Millennium Falcon. Or Luke and Leia's kids. Not Luke and Leia's kids. That's gross.
You can't do that. So I have a feeling that the girl who apparently is she's a scavenger. So she lives on that planet. The Black Stormtrooper somehow gets just disgusted with what's going on with the modified Empire.
He didn't look like he was having any of that.
No, he looks like he deserts. They're teaming up possibly, and they must. I think they find the Millennium Falcon or something like that. Now here's the other thing: the X-wing pilot, he. I have a feeling all three of those characters will all be part of the little, they're the main characters in it, and there's going to be a lot of kind of tension because we got an X-wing pilot and a stormtrooper on the same side. So it's going to be kind of crazy.
That's going to be a lot of fun, though. I'm looking forward to that. And then they show Darth Vader's mask, and you can hear the breathing, I think. I think you could hear the breathing. I'm not sure if that was in there or not. Maybe
If it wasn't there, it was in my head, too.
Yeah, I think that's the case right there. But that was fun. You got a Darth Vader in there somehow. I mean, he is, I know Star Wars is, Jedi and stuff like that, but Star Wars is Darth Vader. Like, without Darth Vader, I don't think the series is nearly as successful as it could have been.
True. Now let me ask you this question, just from a logistics standpoint. This movie's Force Awakens is supposed to come out around Christmas. If it's not Christmas, it's supposed to be around Christmas.
I think it's December 16th or something along those lines.
I can't wait, but... Most of the Star Wars films always came out in the summer. That's kind of odd, right?
Yeah, and then the one that they're doing, the Rogue Squadron movie, that'll come out in, I think, December of 2016. So,
now, did you see what they said? They announced the plot for the Rogue Squadron as well.
Yeah, it's like a before the first episode 4 or whatever. You know what? From now on, I'm not going to say episode 4. I'm just going to say the first Star Wars movie, and that's going to be Star Wars. That's not the stupid prequel.
Well, just say New Hope. just before the New Hope.
Ah, that seems lame too.
It's a newer Hope.
It's a new, the old Hope. That's what the Rogue Squadron is. Just the old Hope.
So
the old ass Hope. The Nobody old likes Hope. It.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope in a Star Wars. Oh man, he would have been great in a Star Wars movie
with his golf club, just kind of walking around.
You know that scene in the in that abomination, that Phantom of the Hourglass or whatever it was. I don't know, Phantom Menace or something. You know those two race announcers? If that had been Bob Hope doing the race announcing, it would have been the best movie ever. So, but it wasn't. It's a missed opportunity.
You know, with the Rogue Squadron, I see it as a possibility to do like it's a full on heist movie.
Yep, that'll be
you
fun.
Know it's a caper, it's a heist caper, it's Ocean's 11 in space.
And that was a good Nintendo 64 game back in the day. Did you play that Rogue Squadron?
No, I did not.
Oh, it was all the whole game was just flying X-wings and doing battles against TIE fighters and all sorts of stuff.
I've seen it played. I didn't get a 64 until a couple of years after, and never got that. I'm tempted to go on eBay and look for that and buy it. But does it hold up? Is it good?
I believe it is still pretty good. I never hear anybody say anything bad about it or anything like that.
Did they make two Star Wars games for the Nintendo 64? Was it the Shadows of the Empire there as well?
Yeah, they did Shadows of the Empires, and they did Rogue Squadron, and trying to think of one more. One of my fellow writers at onemorecastle.com named Tom Hall, he did like an entire piece on Star Wars games on the Nintendo 64. It was Rogue Squadron, Shadows of the Empire, Episode 1 Racer, Episode 1 Battle for Naboo, and those are the ones. But both of those games, much better than the movies, because Battle of Naboo is just another flying shooting game.
I'd look into try to get Rogue Squadron. I'm sure I can probably find it for a couple bucks on eBay. You know, probably not too much.
Now, you know, they re-released TIE Fighter, I believe, for like modern computer systems. So you should be able to go and play that. So,
did they ever do a Star Wars, a multiplayer kind of like a Warcraft? Did they ever do a Star Wars one of that?
I don't think they did, but yeah. But I just looked. It's the original TIE Fighter, along with the original X-Wing, was released digitally on GOG.com, the DOS and Windows versions, and updates are included to make sure it runs very, very smoothly. And your computer, you know, any computer made within the last 10 or 12 years should be able to run those games fairly easily. So I'd get over to GOG. I think it's like just $4 or $5 or something like that. Nice. It's not very expensive, and they're really great games if you like those shooting type games in the Star Wars universe.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. I can't wait for these movies to come out, and you know, especially, God, this is just the beginning. You know, episode, we're gonna have a trilogy right there. We're gonna have the Rogue Squadron. We're gonna have most likely a Han Solo solo movie.
Who?
from a prequel, just how he came about, and a Boba Fett movie.
Oh, the Boba Fett movie will be the best one.
Yes, indeed.
I hope it shows Boba Fett like escaping from the Sarlacc. I know they threw out like the whole expanded universe Disney did, which I can understand why they did it. But I hope they keep like that part of it though, of Hans or of Boba Fett escaping from that pit and doing
I somehow
thing.
Think that they're gonna do. It'll probably be around the time, like before Empire Strikes Back or something like that. You know, just to show his exploits as a bounty hunter or something.
Man, you know, Lucas is rightfully praised as really, really good at marketing, but he totally whiffed on Boba Fett. I don't think he realized how popular that character was, because if he wouldn't have died such a useless death or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe it was all, you know, it was just Lucas magic right there.
Yeah. Oh, the games I just told you about on GOG, they're $10, $9.99 for both of them. So,
that's it.
Go and get it. GOG is not paying me to say this. That's how good the games are. They're not paying me to say this, but you can get X-Wing Special Edition, TIE Fighter Special Edition, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which isn't that what you're probably doing in the previous games, is X-Wings versus TIE Fighters? And the X-Wing Alliance. And you asked about a Star Wars massive multiplayer game like that. but there is one. It's called Star Wars The Old Republic, and that is a similar to the Warcraft and stuff like that. Right. And then when all the nerds getting after me, like, how come you didn't know about this game? Blah, blah, blah.
That is my favorite one of all time.
But yeah, you can make a Jedi. You can turn yourself into a badass looking Wookiee. There's like a Wookiee with like muscles and everything.
Can I be a droid?
Yeah, you could be a droid. You could be a bounty hunter. You can do all sorts of things. But what would you be if you were in the Star Wars universe?
I'd probably be a bounty hunter, a badass one.
I would be one of those musicians at the cantina bar. That's what I would do.
You'd be one of the module nodes. Yes, that's right. That's Figrin Deanne and the module nodes.
Did they ever have like a backstory or anything like that?
They rocked out.
I want that spinoff movie from Disney. Let's do that one with the band. That would be cool. You could do a heist kind of movie with the band or something that. You don't remember that movie, Almost Famous or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, just do that with the band. That would be fun. By the way, that band, much better than the band that was in Return of the Jedi on Jabba the Hutt's thing. That band sucked.
That's Snice Noodles, yeah.
They were like Nickelback, and the band at like the first one was like Pink Floyd or something like that. You know, they were miles and miles better than anything. So, and I'm not going to say the Eagles, because the Eagles suck. Why do people like the Eagles? Do you like the Eagles? Did I just offend you?
Have you been watching Big Lebowski?
No, but he and I share that share that common theme or whatever. But that's what I would do if I was in that movie. But I'm not. I'm not in that world. I don't make any of these decisions or anything like that. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, man. But
No, I'm not disappointed at all.
Well, speaking of disappointment, you can follow me on Twitter at 16bitcatholic. And I finally got the DustinFaber.com website domain back. Nobody took it from me. I just forgot to pay it. Nobody else took it. So, but that's back, and you can easily find the podcast there. You can find my portfolio of work and my blog. You can just go there, and you can know more than you've ever wanted to know about me. But
yes,
James, what do people do when they want to find out more about you than they will ever know?
Ah, geez. Let's see. Twitter, like I said, you can talk. I talk about beer. I talk about weird jokes and things like that. At Beer Baron for Life. That is the number for life.
Weird jokes.
I do jokes.
As customary, whenever you plug your Twitter, I always go to it and retweet the first thing I see, which you said, I love how Dean Martin was introduced as direct from the bar. What's that from?
Yes. I was listening to the Rat Pack live at the Sands Hotel, and that was in 1960-something. I don't even know what it was, but it was Dean Martin was introduced. He was the first one to start singing. I just got to Frank Sinatra start singing as well. But Dino did a couple songs, and he was announced as direct from the bar, Dean Martin.
Oh, man, that sounds like fun. So.
Yes, I'll send you the link because it's a really cool. It's a YouTube. It's the entire album. It's an hour and 14 minutes long. I got through about 35 minutes of it before I paused. And it's a pretty good album.
At first, you made me think that you were like really at a hotel and they were really performing in real time, like holograms or something like they did with Tupac. Only a hologram of the Rat Pack, which that would make a lot of money. Actually, we should do that sometime. But you've got some other podcasts coming out someday whenever you get them fixed.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was supposed to be I recorded my time limit draw, which is retro wrestling, where we review one retro wrestling pay-per-view every episode, myself and my co-host, Michael Watson. And we're on the Monday Night Flaw Network. Unfortunately, about an hour and a half into the show, thankfully, his cell phone dropped. The call. So he called me back, and as I was checking to see the timestamp of when I would have to kind of put the audio back together, I noticed that at 35 minutes, my Audacity had stopped working and just stopped in general.
That's so no fun at all.
No fun at all. I usually am on the ball about watching the levels while I record, but unfortunately, I was reading something else while I was reviewing it. So we did about an hour unrecorded. It was recorded on his side, but you can't hear me. So
maybe it's just like a solo act, you know? Like,
it is.
Have you ever seen those Garfield without Garfield comic strips? It's kind of like that. James without James.
Yes, the world would be a better place without me.
I think you should just release that anyways, just for the pure heck of it. I mean, put a disclaimer at the beginning. James's audio just dropped out, so you can. It'd be like you're having your own conversation with Mikey. Huh? That would be great.
Yeah, I would do that, but I said something really funny, and I got Mikey laughing for a couple minutes. So it's a bummer because we're gonna have to. So what we did was we basically recorded the end. The last two matches of the pay-per-view. So we have bookends right now. And then this Thursday, we're going to record about three matches, review them, and then put them all together and hopefully make something good out of it. First time this has ever happened. I'm embarrassed. I'm pissed.
I'm embarrassed for you, sir.
You need
a new computer, man. Like, that computer of yours is dropping the ball. You're trying to create beautiful content, and it just dies.
You know, I have a feeling because I think I was running a scan at the time that I was recording.
Oh no!
So that might have been it. The Microsoft Security Essentials, and I started it right when we started recording. But I don't think. I mean, it wouldn't have lasted for a half an hour and then stopped. So that's the only thing I could have thought of. But I don't know.
Those scans, man, they'll get you. So
they'll get you.
How old's your computer?
Maybe you need only a couple years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You Windows 7 on there?
I don't know.
Is it actually a laptop or is it?
It's a laptop. Yeah.
I wonder if it might have overheated or something like that.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Audacity's always has problems sometimes, but never when you're recording. So I don't know.
Audacity can go take a long walk off a short pier.
More like Back to the Future lately. Audacity.
Yeah, that is what it is. And I look forward to getting that wrestling podcast out sometime soon. So the masses can listen to it. And I don't think I have any other wise words of wisdom to say. So I guess I'm going to tell everybody goodbye. And hopefully you enjoyed listening to the show.
Yeah, and have a wonderful week.
Everybody, take care. Have a great day.